This is the fourth episode of Doc from Monterey Mystery. For the earlier episodes, please go to the archives. Francie Livillard, detective extraordinaire living and working on the Monterey Peninsula, has gone to see Angelo Crespino, a man with his ear to the ground, especially when it comes to knowing the whos and hows and whys of activities that approached and often crossed the line of legality. Angelo and Francie were on the same side, especially after she had helped Sal Domenico, one of the more successful businessmen in the area, pull his daughter out from under the influence of some nefarious con artists. Sal's imprimatur meant a lot, so when Francie had gone to Angelo for advice a number of cases back, he was interested to meet the white girl detective who had scored so high with a higher-up in his circle. And ever the businessman, he wanted to make sure that if she needed to rent anything, she would rent from his Big A's Rental, where their motto was, "You wanna, we gotta." By the time she dropped by on the Doc Hardwick case, Crespino considered Francie a confidant. She would always bring him something when she came to pick his brain, usually a freshly made something that he could smell when she walked through the door. The way to a man's heart, they say, is down his gullet. On this occasion, she brought him a tub of chopped chicken liver. It was from an abridged version of a recipe she'd learned in New York. It included bacon. "What's that?" he demanded, staring at the container she was carrying along with a fresh baguette she'd picked up on the way at La Bicyclette in Carmel. Francie put the container on the counter and waved the baguette in front of his face. "It's bread," she told him. "What do you think it was?"
"I know that part," he said garrulously. "But what's that?"
"Close your eyes," she ordered. This was not a new routine, so he complied. She opened the lid and raised the container to a few inches below his nose. He sniffed noisily, opened his eyes, and peered at the chopped liver, and asked in his best Brooklynese,
"Chopped liver?"
"That's right, Angelo. I thought you deserved a treat." She broke off a piece of the bread and used it as a scoop to deliver the treat to its destination. He took it from her, examined it, sniffed it again, and then put a large bite in his mouth. He chewed tentatively at first, and then with approving mmm sounds as he masticated more enthusiastically. "Oh my, this is good," he said as he tore off another piece of bread and started the process again. This time he chewed more slowly, savoring the textures and the flavors. When he was done, he turned his head sideways, granted her a broad smile from both his mouth and the facing eye. "You know, Francie, you cook like this, you don't even have to be good-looking. And you are that, too. I don't understand how you aren't married."
"Oh, Angelo, you say the nicest things, I think," she said.
"But the fact is that the guy would have to be so wonderful I wouldn't come to town anymore, and then what would you do?"
"Starve," Angelo answered.
He fed himself again. When he was done oohing and aahing his way through his third taste, he said, "So you want something big, I guess, huh?" She lowered her voice. "Not so big, Angelo. Maybe nothing at all. I don't know. I was wondering if you knew a guy."
"Knew a guy? Here?" She nodded.
"Come on. I know everybody. What's his name?"
Francie leaned forward slightly and told him, "I know you are the soul of discretion, but this is particularly important to me. If he heard that I was asking, there could be some problems, you know."
"Trust me, Francie," he said, showing a hurt expression.
"Don't feed me that hangdog stuff, Angelo. I don't know what I'm dealing with yet. That's why I'm talking to you. A really good guy may be in the sights of this bad guy, and I wouldn't want anything to happen to him."
Okay, I know, all right. So who is it?"
"Gary Adler," she told him quietly. Crespino tilted his head back, raising his eyebrows as he looked down his face at her.
"Pericolosa," he said in a tone she hadn't heard from him. "Dangerous. Maybe mato. Crazy. He's not someone you want to be around, Francie, if you listen to me."
Francie was taken aback by the sharpness in his voice.
"That's what I wanted to know, Angelo. I'll be careful. I thought maybe that was the case. What is he into, drugs?"
Angelo looked around to make sure that no one was in earshot.
"I don't think he sells, but maybe he uses, you know. Heroin, I think. Maybe amphetamines, too."
She had another question, one that she knew would tread on his own cultural sensitivities, even though the person in question wasn't Mediterranean. She lowered her voice further. "Anything on Eileen Adler?" Angelo stared at her for a long time, or maybe it was just a few seconds, but it was tangible. What? She asked him.
You don't want to get mixed up with her. She is maligna, he said.
You know that word?
Malignant, I guess.
Yes, malignant. She is evil.
Ooh, I really nailed it with you today, Angelo, haven't I?
I am telling you that they are not good to be with, these two. I look out for you, Francie. You listen to me.
I appreciate that, Angelo. I really do, and I will be careful, she promised him.
But tell me, what do you know about her that she is evil? I thought she was a nurse.
Angelo looked around again.
I can't say for sure, you know. It was a long time ago.
But?
I think maybe she murdered her husband.
That's not nice, Francie said,
but lots of wives do that.
Okay, maybe not lots, but it sounds special to you. Did she do it for the money?
Angelo shook his head. That's not what I heard. Not the money. But she got a lot of it.
It was how she did it.
How did she do it?
He tilted his head back again and said, she crashed their car into a tree. She had her baby in the back seat, and she drove into a tree on his side of the car.
Ick, Francie said. That is ugly. Sick.
Maligna. Angelo repeated.
But why?
Angelo shook his head. I don't know. He leaned forward again. But I don't think it's very, you know. He looked down at the chopped liver.
Kosher between her and the sun.
Her eyes widened.
You mean?
Angelo cringed.
I don't know about that, you know. But you don't have to do that for it to be weird, right?
Right, Francie agreed, and thought stealing drugs from your boss, the doctor, for no apparent reason was weird enough. But this, too?
Francie arrived at her humble 2,500-square-foot ranch house, 50 yards back from a 20-foot drop to the rocky coastline that met with the Pacific Ocean. Her house, which size-wise must have been the runt of the local domicile litter amidst the neighboring abodes, twice her footprint or more, was her sanctuary. She backed up the driveway and into the garage, as she always did. Boy Scouts weren't the only ones who thought it was important to be prepared. And walked outside again and up to the front door. She raised a 3-inch square metal flap and pressed her left thumb against the surface underneath. There was a click, and she pushed the door open. The garage door rolled down as she entered the house. With the kind of work she did, she had plenty of grateful clients, but also some people, mostly non-clients, who were not happy with her results. Most of the black hats had the sense to stay out of her way, but it wouldn't have been sensible on Francie's part not to take some basic precautions. She had some very smart security folks put together a sensitive perimeter watch system that made her feel comfortable. She didn't go overboard, since most of the west side of the house was glass and not bulletproof. The main part of the house was one large room, with the kitchen to the east, looking up toward the coastal range that climbed up on the other side of the Pacific Coast Highway. It was a good-sized kitchen for someone who lived alone, with a large prep island, plus Vulcan's home version of a professional stove and two sinks. She played a lot in the kitchen, for which Angelo and other friends were grateful. There was a walk-through between the kitchen and the living dining areas. On the south side of the house were her bedroom suite and a second bedroom that she used as an office. On the north side was another bedroom suite for the infrequent guests that she allowed to share her space, along with a pantry, more storage space, and the entrance to the garage. She loved her house, for it was decorated to her taste, with her things, from the art on the walls to the linens on her bed and the dishes and the flatware. Every time she came home, even if she'd just been to town on errands, she experienced a special feeling of pleasure that she was there. She also had a deck on the west side along the length of the house, with a hot tub, out of sight of her neighbors, that served as an aqueous den, a perfect appointment for the fog-besotted Central Coast. If you knew how many hours she spent in the tub, you might think that she didn't get any work done. But in fact, that was where she did some of her most important thinking. Francie went into her bedroom, shed her togs, wrapped herself in a large towel, and headed for the tub. She eased into the 99-degree water and heaved a deep sigh. After about 15 minutes, she climbed out, dried herself off, and headed back into the house. She had a plan for action. What was Francie's next step? A little black magic, maybe? Was it time to step onto the stage and meet the other players? The case develops in Episode 5 of Doc, right here on February 1st.